good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to this week's new episode of X Vlog Live. I'm your host, Mr. Boomstick XL. And folks, for the next 70 minutes, you're going to be entertained one way or another. We're going to be talking Marvel. We're going to be talking Xbox in 2023. And whether or not we believe that is a make or break year for the brand's first party. All positive talk, but of course, the criticism that might come into conversation is, of course, going to be constructive, which is what we do here. And I could not have asked for a better co-host today than Pong Soul, Mr. Podcast himself. Pong, what's going on, brother? Welcome back to, well, not welcome back. Well, actually, yeah,
kind of.
You missed Tuesday because of real life, but you're here today. How are you feeling, brother?
Doing good, Boom. Glad I could make this one happen. Yeah, it's, you know, real life and work is getting back to normal, so it's getting crazy around here, but anytime I can jump in and make this happen, I will do so. So thank you for the invite. Happy to be here on Vlog, X Vlog, I guess we'll say it. Look, it's great. It's a great time to be talking gaming. Things are heating up. Obviously, last week's news still continues to kind of reverberate throughout the community and throughout the industry up until this point. But we got a lot to talk about, Boom. 2023 is a gigantic year for Xbox Bethesda. And we can dive into that, sir, because there's plenty to go to and talk about. Criticism aside, there's plenty of things to look forward to.
Listen, that's the one thing that we can honestly say wholeheartedly without sounding like a fanboy or the Earth Defense Force for Phil Spencer and company. They have a lot of games coming out. That's a confirmed fact, ladies and gentlemen. Now, granted, you know, would we like these games sooner? 1,000%. But at the back end of the conversation, the game's got to get done. They got to be done right. And you know something? Until someone writes a book or until someone actually comes out and says it, we're never going to know where these delays came from. But a lot of people, including myself, believe that this wasn't a Phil Spencer, hey, you got to delay this. I think that this comes the way easily of Todd Howard and that group of people over there, because they saw what the game was and they probably were very honest and earnest, if you will, with Phil Spencer, saying, hey, listen, Phil, we know this was supposed to be a big year. You know, we did the, it's not pen, pencil, it's pen. But the bottom line is that, you know, working from home, not being in the studio as much as we would like to be because of regulations and, you know, actually real life pandemic, stuff going on. We need some more time. Well, if that in fact is the case, that's fine. 2023 is going to be a banger year. There's just no doubt about it. But before we get into that, obviously, you see, I got some Marvel vs. Capcom Ultimate playing. And the reason why I wanted to this particular footage is playing in the background is because that good friend of the program, Mike Lowry, he's in the chat now, wrote an incredible article, which I have added to the show notes of this show. When it goes video on demand, if you want to read the article, you can. And he posed a question, something that we've talked about, Pong, on this show numerous times. Does Microsoft need its own superhero game? And the answer is 100%. But why I wanted to, you know, use his article as a springboard to what we're going to be talking about today is because of some new news that came out a couple of weeks ago from Skullzy TV, from Special Nick over at Xbox Era, where ZeniMax Studios is apparently and rumored to be working on a Marvel game. And apparently Marvel has several Disney licenses that they have exclusive rights to make a game for, one of which is The Mandalorian, which we're hearing. But as great as the Mandalorian game is going to be, and hopefully that's going to be like, you know, he's in the universe, but you make your own Mandalorian kind of a adventure, which would be amazing. I want to talk about Marvel, because obviously coming off the heels of Doctor Strange into the Multiverse of Madness, the multiverse has been exploded open. Secret Wars is coming. There's no doubt about that. Fantastic Four is around the corner. We're going to start seeing some of our childhood dreams from the comics, like Secret Wars, come to reality. And I really want to see Microsoft get in on the ground floor. They need to be a part of the conversation. And listen, folks, I platinum Spider-Man 2018. I'm one trophy away from platinuming Miles Morales. I love Spider-Man. I love Marvel. I'm going to play the F out of Wolverine when it comes on the PlayStation 5. Hopefully, I would imagine 2024 is when I think we're going to get that game from Insomniac. But, I mean, come on. I mean, first of all, we got 118 people here, which is awesome. Who in the chat doesn't want Microsoft to be a part of that superhero conversation? And of course, I want to involve everyone here. What superhero do you want? Now, selfishly, and I'm wearing this shirt is old, super old. I don't wear it very often. It's got it's called Heroes. It is one of my favorite shirts because I'm a diehard MCU fan, right? A diehard Marvel fan. And I want to see Microsoft bring their version. However that is it an MMO with a story? Is it a single player? Is it a multiplayer? I actually don't care. Is it a side scroller? Doesn't matter to me. I want some Marvel goodness to come to Xbox outside of, you know, a third party. Everyone has it. I know, you know, that sounds selfish. Like, oh, why does it have to be exclusive? Because I want Microsoft to have their own Marvel exclusive. I don't think I need an explanation as to why that is, but I think it's time. And I think that they have an amazing relationship with Disney. And, you know, I understand that with Spider-Man specifically, that is locked behind a lot of big, big, deals behind the scenes when it comes to the Marvel sharing agreement with Spider-Man for the actual films. And I'm sure that there was something inked into that contract. Hey, listen, we have to have first go-to or first rights for Marvel games on PlayStation. I'm sure there's something in the contract. I'm only guessing because I've never seen the contract myself. But Pong, let's break this down. Mike Lowy says he wants to see a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle exclusive. Granted, we have a beat 'em up coming this year. We have the Kawabunga collection coming at the first month of 2023 from Konami. It's like a collection. So we're going to get some TMNT. But I hear what he's saying. It would be pretty. Listen, regardless of what heroes you like, whether that be Hellboy, whether that be DC, whether that be Marvel, whether that be TMNT, whatever, it would be nice for a character-based hero game to come to Xbox. And I think it's one of the genres that they are missing. Pong, where do you personally fall on seeing Microsoft push the envelope for this?
Well, I think it's definitely a big missed opportunity if they don't try to get some kind of license out of this deal, that all this goodwill that they have with Disney. I know Sony's obviously using, Spider-Man to their advantage to cut these deals, but it is time that Microsoft and Xbox jump on this train. Again, the MCU, for all intents and purposes, is one of the hottest, if not the hottest, IP going right now, and there's no reason why Xbox should not have one of their own. And there's plenty of
heroes,
plenty of opportunity here.
What about going to Image and getting a Spawn game?
Correct, Spawn. You look at that's what I kind of did when I knew we were going to talk about this topic. And we've done this before, Boom, too, right? When you look at the MCU or available characters out there from other people, right? You got to look at something that fits the Xbox mold, right?
Yeah.
You want it, but there's plenty of characters that do that. Now, number one, tops, and this is personal too for me. Again, I'm not the biggest superhero guy anymore. Used to be huge into comics, but X-Men was always my favorite, right? X-Men is going to be introduced into the MCU at some point here. We know that's part of their roadmap now. The mutants are coming. Why not jump on that craze before that gets to that
point? Yep.
Right? And X-Men, Xbox, it works so perfect. It's not even funny where you could go with marketing and all that kind of stuff. So, of course, you know, again, selfishly, I want the X-Men to come. Plus, multiplayer game, again, something that Xbox is well known for. It would just be phenomenal to see X-Men come back in a big way on Xbox, right? But like you said, you got Spawn, which is outside of the Marvel Universe, but Spawn is so underutilized, it's not even funny, right? What McFarlane created over with Spawn is something special. And for him not to have video games on a regular basis with everything that those comics have put him through and all the different situations, whether it was the medieval times or whatever the case may be, Spawn is ripe for a great, great video game. And so, yes, I agree with you. Blade. Vampires are coming back in a big way. My God, Blade fits in perfectly with Xbox's kind of reputation. They could do, they've got so many studios now that could do Blade justice. Bloody, gory, dark, bring it all in whatever form you want it in. But Blade would be huge, right? Gambit, another underutilized character over at Marvel. Now, we might see him come into play when X-Men and mutants are introduced, but a Gambit standalone game with his superpowers, with all the characters, with all the enemies that you could introduce, the villains. Look, Gambit would be another great one. Again, what I'm saying here is that this ground is fertile, okay? Whether it's DC or whether it's Marvel, there's a lot of opportunity here, but Marvel specifically, because of how hot that IP is, Xbox does need to get on board with this. Like you said in the beginning, whatever kind of genre you want to create, I'm down for outside of a mutant dance-off kind of game or a card battle game, which we know we're getting anyways from a third party here. Outside of those two, whether it's third-person action, adventure, like the Spider-Mans, like we imagine Wolverine's going to be, etc. Cool. MMO, awesome. Create your own Marvel character, join the fights. Awesome, right? RPG, let's go action RPG style, right? Let's go back to the days when those were popular with superheroes. Let's bring those back again, right? Let's do it. Give your characters a chance to power up, become more powerful. Now, we saw a failure in Avengers, right? We saw that
unfortunately, but we saw triumph in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Guardians of the Galaxy, right? There's so many different ways you can go nowadays. Again, I believe these rumors are true. I don't think Xbox, as much as we know that Phil doesn't necessarily like licensed IP, the money is there. The industry has changed. The entertainment industry as a whole has changed. We now see crossover everywhere. Alan Wake is getting a TV show. Whoever would have thought? Alan Wake, a cult classic on Xbox 360, a favorite game of mine from the 360 generation, would not only get a remake, would not only have the rights returned to Remedy so that they can make a sequel, but now they're making a TV show. We see this time and time again. The Witcher blew up on Netflix, right? Who would have thought the Witcher games would have ever been turned into a hit series on Netflix? Not a lot of us back in the day, but now in 2022, absolutely. That's where this content has gone. That's where these IPs are gone. So I got to believe, again, as resistant as maybe Phil has been to licensed IP in the past, they understand the direction that all of this is headed. And you've got to have those name brand IPs in your ecosystem as part of the diversity, which you have done a ridiculously good job of having within Game Pass. But to have a Marvel IP directly associated with Xbox, huge win, boom, huge.
Yeah, you know, look, one of the things that I say about Xbox Game Pass specifically is that it is the ultimate exclusive, right? Now, granted, Sony has their PlayStation Plus service coming, and it does, if I'll put it this way, for new players, it is a treasure trove of first-party games. For people like us who play on everything, not so much. So when I hear people even like Phil's talking about getting games into Game Pass day and date is magnificent. What an incredible thing to happen for game, for gamers who are gaming on a budget, right? Like if you can't afford to, buy a game, with Game Pass still allows you to be a part of the conversation, but my goodness, Pong, to get a Marvel exclusive, to get a hero game that is exclusive to the brand, exclusive to the Xbox and PC brand, and to be able to put that on your whatever you know, marketing for Game Pass, it is going to move the needle. This is what's this is something that I hope that they are seeing. I hope that the room is being read this way, because we do know, and it, Phil Spencer has said this in the past, that he's not the biggest fan of licensed IP that's not owned by Microsoft. And even though I understand that there's licensing fees, I understand that someone else has to get a cut of this, but to remove to remove Heroes, you know, which are owned by everyone but Microsoft, from the equation, seems to me to be a closed-minded mentality. And I don't think he thinks like that anymore. I think that he has seen the success of Spider-Man and Miles Morales and the excitement that came with the announcement of Spider-Man 2 and Wolverine, right? That's that sent the internet ablaze, because guess what? Those are PlayStation 5 exclusives, and people are going to be buying PlayStations probably to play those games. So not saying that they don't have it. They don't have it. They have plenty of games that people will go out and buy an Xbox for. But, man, to get a Marvel game, to get a Hero game that's exclusive to your brand. And I like what you're talking about, the branding that you're talking about regarding X-Men. We're, you know, Xbox. It's literally will print
writes itself
money.
It, will it writes itself money.
Yeah, it literally writes itself.
And look, Boom, look what happened with Indiana Jones. Now, there's a debate going on whether or not Indiana Jones is a viable IP in 2022, which I can hear, right? In, a lot of kids don't know who Indiana Jones is in a lot of ways because they didn't grow up with him like we did, right, Boom? So Indiana Jones has been on the spotlight, but when they announced Indiana Jones, Benji Sales put out a tweet back then, I still remember when that happened, that he could not believe the talk that was going on social media, because, you know, Benji always follows the trends on social media, and he looks at the numbers, and the number of people that were searching out Indiana Jones for an IP that a lot of people claim is kind of a dead thing. Like, hey, yeah, we all know Indiana Jones, but Indiana, you know, Indiana hasn't been popular in a long time, but people still searched it out. Now take that and times it by 100 when it comes to this Marvel fresh IP. Again, I think Phil saw some of that. Like you said, you know, he has come out and said that he's resistant to that he doesn't necessarily like it. But I think, again, in 2022, with how we see the IPs kind of crossing genres, whether it's TV, books, comics, movies, video games, that IP is so valuable that they have to recognize that what it means to their brand to have something like that associated directly with Xbox, like you said, Boom, not just third party multi-plats, nothing like that, but actually associated with Xbox as an exclusive. It is a big deal.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what? Let me catch some of the super chats. The first one comes from Jacob Novick, drops an outstanding and extremely generous $10 super chat and says, if I may, Marlin Gaming Nation, big YouTuber, got to show us an exclusive 10-minute gameplay of new Saints Row game thanks to Deep Silver. I recommend a watch after this is over. Yeah, that's one of those games that I hope that Microsoft goes out and gets. What are your thoughts on that, Pong?
Yeah, they got to do something, right, Boom? Again, the criticism has been lost in a lot of ways. A lot of people hear criticism and automatically think that you're in the camp of get rid of Phil, or, you know, this is all Phil's problem. This is all Xbox's problem. They don't know what they're doing. They have mismanagement, all that kind of stuff. We can have those conversations, right? But the real criticism comes down to, what are you going to do now with this gaping, gigantic hole that has to be filled with something? Because you can't, with a Game Pass, just say, oh, well, we'll care about it next year, right? It'll all come back around. You can't do that with a Game Pass. A subscription service needs content consistently, and a Starfield was something that was going to drive those numbers. Now, again, looking at the landscape, third-party-wise, there's not a whole lot out there, Boom, that's going to garner
much attention. Yeah, this year is very light with third-party. It is.
Very light, but what you do have is you got a Gotham Knights. You do have a Saints Row. Again, not going to fill that hole by any stretch of the imagination, but you have to go make that attempt. again, whether or not they can do it, for me, again, it's overpay. You're in a tough spot.
Yeah. They're going, and they know that the publisher, yeah,
they're going to get
other,
you.
These other entities know Microsoft.
They're going to get you.
They kind of painted themselves into a corner, didn't
Correct.
They?
Correct. And that's where I want to see. That's why, to me, the hype of June 12th for me has cooled off because of Starfield. Everybody who listens to this channel here knows how I feel about Starfield and Todd Howard. Okay. So the hype for me has come down because I know Starfield's not until next year. Okay. Am I still hyped? Of course I am. But now it's turned more to curiosity about, and again, I've said on other shows and here that I don't blame necessarily Phil for what happened for Starfield. That's a Todd Howard decision. I think that there probably was some
That's definitely from Pete Hines and Todd Howard sat down and had a conversation.
I think there was mutual conversation. I still believe there's a chance that Todd sat, you know, Phil down and said, look, we're going to show you what we can release in November of this year. And then I'm going to give you an idea of what this could be if we can get an extension on this and delay it. I still think that that was a possible conversation, and they took a look at it together when they were out there, and Phil and everybody kind of made the decision, hey, let's delay it. We want the full boat when the Starfield comes out. We don't want this to be a scenario where we're still adding things like Halo Infinite to the game as we go. We want this to be the most complete experience possible. I still think that's the thing. But what I was going to say is, in regards to this, is that I don't blame Phil per se on the Starfield thing. I think there has been some history here that we now can kind of ask some questions, but the real deal is with Phil and his team is what they do June 12th. This has now become a curiosity. How do you pivot at this major juncture, right? When you have some bad news, how do you pivot? Talks a lot or says a lot about your leadership capabilities and the team that you have built that so far has been doing a phenomenal job with a lot of different hard to deal with situations, whether it was pandemic or Halo Infinite being delayed or whatever the case, they've done a phenomenal job of kind of navigating those rough waters. Well, now you got maybe some of the roughest waters you've ever been in. How do you perform? How do you pivot? How do you react to this situation? And June 12th is going to be where we find that out. So I think that's why it's turned to more curiosity for me to see how this big Xbox ship kind of gets through these rough waters and comes out on the other side. And June 12th will be a lot of answers. So.
Yeah, you know, it's the thing with June 12th is now it's gone from, you know, hey, it's, you know, it's E3 time, or, you know, it's video game talk time to, you know, and I said this last night, Microsoft was already up against a significant amount of pressure, right? They already had everyone expecting, because of last year's 10 out of 10 show, which most people believed it was. I would even dare say, Pong, that it was probably their best show in the brand's history. I would dare say that. I would stand on that stone.
Agree.
Right?
Agree.
Yeah. And now this is the year coming off of last year's Publisher of the Year, right? Right. Lots of games. Last year's output, even though we understand that some of them were delayed the year before, and this is what we're expecting 2023 to look like, which we're going to get into momentarily. It was what a lot of people, including myself, believed the start of a new era of Xbox. It was supposed to be the jumping off spot where these no more waiting games shenanigans was over. And even though 2022 was considered, you know, quote unquote light, they had a bunch of really good games coming to Xbox. The world kind of ruined some things. Obviously, Stalker 2, which we're hearing is still coming out in December. That's what we hear. They're back to development. You know, that was supposed to release already. That's supposed to be one of their big exclusive. Now, whether that was timed or not, we don't know specifically how long it's timed, but it was timed. It was going to be a big one. And there was something Hearts that was supposed to come out also. That was from a Russian studio. Obviously, got delayed for a lot of, obviously, real-world issues. You know, so on top of the pressure of at least bringing a 10 out of 10 show to match what you did last year, they now have the delay. So it is a monster hill that they're going to have to climb. Now, one of the things that we don't know, Pong, which is very interesting because they're not talking, and of course, they're kind of letting things die out a bit. We don't personally know if this delay for Starfield and Redfall actually changed the show. Right. Like if you look at all of their marketing, Pong, it's all marketed to Starfield. So
hence why we think this was a last minute decision.
Yeah.
There's no way they would have created that marketing otherwise.
Yeah. Right. So no one is suggesting here that the show is going to be terrible. I'm certainly not. I'm expecting some big surprises. I'm hoping that we do get some first party surprise releases that maybe weren't on schedule, but now that there's a gaping hole, they're going to put it in. And I one of the running things, and I want to get your opinion on this as we're on this topic. That's my opinion. I think that they have two games to replace it. But some people are in the camp to say, well, why would they remove two announced games and put into place two unannounced games? And I say that, Pong, my answer to that question is because, well, they have so many games in development that there's going to come a point where games are literally going to have to be held so they don't eat each other's lunch. Correct. Maybe that was the case today. And again, it's speculation town, you know, our favorite place to be. Am I on to something or am I out of my mind?
Oh, boom. Are they ready to start doing that yet is the biggest question. Because you're right, Boom. We've talked about that plenty as well, that there's a time and place that with all of these studios and all the content that they're going to be able to shift things. And sometimes they're going to have to shift things and they're going to be able to go to two studios and say, okay, which one of you is more polished than the other one? Okay, you're coming out in March. We're pushing the other one till, you know, August. Go ahead and keep polishing and keep fixing up things and make it the best, most beautiful game that you ever played. They're going to be able to do that stuff. And eventually when something like a Starfield does happen and there is a delay, they're going to be able to say, okay, we've got A and B lined up. Let's slot B in. Let's go. We're fine. Are they ready this year to start doing that? That's a gigantic question, Boom. I personally say no. Again, I put it out there on Twitter that if Avowed was ready, that'd be a freaking fantastic replacement.
That would be a monster release.
Again, I understand. We just got word that they switched over to UE5. I understand all of that. It was just a thought because Avowed was going to show last year at the E3. They were going to show off what they had been doing. Now, the question is, that a team over Obsidian are Wizards, okay? What happens if they had access to UE5 when Coalition first got access to UE5, which we know was way before the official launch of Unreal 5, because Microsoft has a fantastic relationship with Epic. So what happens if they had access? And what happens if Coalition sent in a special group to help out Obsidian get everything swapped over? I still, again, it's the longest of long shots, but I said that personally. So I'm kind of in your same boat. I think they could potentially have something unannounced ready to go for November. And I hope that's the case, Boom, because that will, you know, ease some of the pain from losing Starfield for sure, especially if it's a first party AAA game. But I don't think so. I think chances are more likely that we may have one or two smaller games that are ready to come out, like Josh Sawyer's game or whatever the case may be, might be ready to go this year.
And so we might get some Affinity's game, which is obviously the battle royale aspect of Halo Infinite, that might be ready to go. They've been working on that for a couple of years, and we know Certain Affinity knows their business, so maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Again, you're going to have to lean into that stuff. And I've said, Boom, from the get-go, look, if you don't have a big plan B, and you can't cut a deal for one of these big games. Now, again, I've seen people bring it up in the chat, and this has been floating around there. You know, We're unsure whether or not Sony actually has Modern Warfare 2 marketing.
You know, right, it's now. Funny. Yeah, you know, yeah. I see that yeah. floating around because there was a slide with their future for marketing for 2022, and everything but Call of Duty was on there.
Correct.
Right. So tomorrow morning on Breakfast with Boom, we are going to be covering that and several other big Xbox topics. And that is one worthy of a, you know, a nice 20-30 minute conversation because, you know, who was it that said it last night? I think it might have been Everborn Saga. Maybe Sony pulled out of the marketing because they have to spend all that money. And obviously, you know, we know moving forward that Call of Duty is probably going to be associated with Xbox. And they have quite a few marketable games that they're releasing this year that have the branding. Hogwarts being one of the big ones.
Yep.
And they have the marketing rights to that. They have the marketing rights to what else? Forspoken.
Forspoken
is another one. Square. Yep. Now, again, we don't know for sure, but Final Fantasy 16 is supposed to release this year. That's another big one. So maybe they're looking at marketing dolls and saying, hey, maybe we don't want to spend that kind of money because we know that eventually next year or the year after that, well, hey, it's going to be an Xbox Game Pass thing. Maybe we should get out now and save that marketing dollars for something else.
And if that turns out to be true, Boom, if that turns out to be true, Microsoft needs to pay itself whatever hundreds of billions of dollars it would take to Activision Blizzard because they are paying themselves at this point. Eventually, yes. Just pay it and get it in day one in Game Pass. If you can announce at June 12th, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 is coming to Game Pass
day. It would break the internet, my friend.
Look, it would solve everything that we've talked about that Starfield's whole created, and Redfall to a lesser degree. We always skip out on Redfall, but
you know,
Starfield
that's was we, the have, main we don't know really. Yeah, we know what Redfall is, but we don't really know.
Yeah, correct. So, but that would fill a lot of that hole left by Starfield if you can say Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. The hype around that game already is insane. We talked about this year being
supposed to be the
best
looking and playing Call of Duty of all time.
All time, the biggest one that they've ever made. People are starting to leak certain things about this game, but Modern Warfare again, just the name alone, because of how well received the last one was, and again the history with Modern Warfare. Yeah. Modern Warfare 2 is going to be colossal. Release this year, and if they could secure that, Boom, I don't care what it costs because you're paying yourself, just pay it. Even if it winds up not going through the Activision Blizzard deal, it'd be worth it just to have that on Game Pass day and date. That would be huge. So again, there's things they can do, but whatever the case may be, Boom, they have to lean into this. If there is no plan B, if they don't have any other first party titles, big first party titles ready to go, then you have to lean into this and say, look, 2022 Motorsport, we hope you're there. Great. But outside of that, look, 2022 is a lost year, and you got to lean into it June 12th, and you got to sell hopes and dreams, brother. You got to lay – look, we've heard that the potential from Randall Thor is that almost every single first-party studio was ready with something for this showcase. They gave Phil and his team something. Look, you open up the Christmas presents, Boom, at this point. If you've got nothing else,
Christmas,
sell hopes and dreams, because gamers have a short-term memory.
Right.
Will it be the same? Will that impression that Starfield is still not there and you didn't have anything else for this year outside of maybe Motorsport, will that still linger after the show? Of course it will. But if you blow everybody out of the water and you open up some future presents that are further down the road than just next year, which I know they want to hold this to within the next 18 months usually, look, if you release some of those presents and some of that stuff is looking absolutely ridiculously good, gamers have short-term memories, the impression will be, 2022 is going to suck. It's just wait longer again. But look what we have. Look what we have coming. Yeah. We know this is coming now.
So
we
basically know. what you're suggesting is for Microsoft to create a year of dreams as Sony did in 2016.
Correct. Right. If you got nothing, if you don't have anything outside of a Motorsport and maybe a third party deal, maybe Gotham Knights, maybe Saints Row, whatever the case may be, if that's all you got, then you lean into this, Boom, and you just say hopes and dreams, baby. Look, final year of this nonsense. We full bore 2023, 2024, 2025 are going to be ridiculous for all of you. We are past this now, but 2022, unfortunately, is a lot. But you just lean into that future. You just lean in. Yeah.
Well, we're gonna get into that momentarily. What 2023, how important that is. We're gonna get into that. But let me catch up with some of the super chats. JC Color Moreau drops a very generous $2 super chat and says Boom and Pong should be characters in the next Mortal Kombat game. Yes, please. I'll be more than happy to sign that contract. No problem.
What would be my special ability? Talking people's ears off. That's what I would do.
You know what? I think that's what
that my fatality.
When you put us together, that is the conundrum, because we both like to talk. My wife says I'm long-winded, and she's 100% correct in saying so. Viper XT drops a very generous $5 super chat and says, we'll be at the Xbox Fan Fest in Toronto. Oh, congratulations, dude. Looking forward to meeting many of the community. Might even catch a glimpse of exclusive Pong and Mag, but Mag for sure. That is definitely for sure. If you got the notifications are going out for FanFest specifically for all the areas. But I saw a couple of people. I think Fuzzy and Psychonauts actually got picked, which is congratulations on them. I mean, that's freaking huge, man. I mean, I went to FanFest in 2019, and it is just amazing. Kirby Zero Louise drops a very generous $5 super chat and says, does MS really get to say that they don't want to license games when Forza exists? Forza Motorsport 7 recently had to be pulled from sales and Xbox Game Pass because of licensing issues. Yeah, I mean, but you see, that's probably right there where, Phil doesn't, that's where his distaste or dislike of licensing comes into play, because at some point a game is going to be pulled for music or for a character or something.
And look at the mess they had from the 360 era with all the licensing issues with, like, you know, with all the games that we've talked about that we love for Microsoft to come, you know, bring back. And Phil has gone, look, the licensing is so screwed up on all that stuff. It's really hard to lock down an IP and not have issues in the future if you want to use that IP to get long-term. And we've talked about it. Again, if they're going to go after WB or whatever the case may be, they got to lock down those licensing. Well, to lock down that licensing for 20 years is going to cost a ton, and it's very hard to do because people don't want to do that. Yes.
Hey, want to shout out Psychonauts is in the chat. Good friend of this program. Great friend of the community. Actually, a founding member of your show on Fridays, which is great to have him here. Big shout out to BitCloud Gaming, my brother. He says, hit the like button. Yes, indeed. We have almost 300 people here. Folks, please, for the love of Jehovah, hit the like button. But let me make sure I'm caught up. BitCloud Gaming. He drops a very generous $2 super chat and says, my brother. Well, what up? Salute. Hit the like button. Indeed. Thank you so much for the generosity. Pong. Let's get into it. This is a topic that's going to have a bunch of emotion, a lot of speculation town, adjectives thrown into the conversation. 2023 is expected to potentially be, and not just for Microsoft, folks, 2023 is expected to potentially rival 2007. Now, if you're an OG like us, 2007 is by far one of the most and biggest game years in the history. I'm getting goosebumps, folks. History of gaming. You had games like BioShock and Mass Effect and so many others come to console. And to this day, as great as we've had so many years, that it's been fantastic. You look back and you're like, my God, I don't have time for gaming. But that particular year, folks, that year has not been challenged as of yet, right? Well, 2023 is supposed to be one of, if not the biggest years for the industry. But I want to take the industry out of the conversation, and I want to focus specifically on Xbox. right now, the ABK deal is being worked on, expected to close potentially early, very late this year, very early next year, right? Once that deal closes, Microsoft is going to find themselves upwards of 34 studios, right? Two of the games that are being that are going to be coming to Xbox Game Pass day and date next year is going to be Overwatch 2 and Diablo 4, right? Now, those IPs, see, I'm not an Overwatch guy, so does it really mean a lot to me? No, but Mrs. Boom and I, well, we're Diablo people. And she loves, I mean, we've beaten Diablo 3 times, and she absolutely loves it. So she's looking forward to 4. But now, Pong, we know for an absolute fact that Starfield and Redfall 2023, that's 4 games. Avowed might be a game that comes out next year. Hellblade 2, potentially holiday of next year. And again, some people are suggesting early 2024, but you know, we got to throw it into the conversation.
Yep,
it has been in development for many, 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 many years. So I'm no mathematician, folks, but now you're talking upwards of 6+ first party games.
Contraband. And I haven't really,
what's that?
Contraband.
Contraband is another one.
Yep.
So now we have to talk about the importance of 2023 for Xbox, right? Am I calling it the make or break year for the brand? No, because the brand is around. They've invested heavily. Game Pass is a thing. Again, I know that the quote unquote listed amount is 25 million. King David and I have a few insider information that we believe it's closer to 30. And again, I'll die on that hill. That's fine. They have a lot going for them. Pong, I really want to get your personal opinion on the importance of next year. Again, I've seen people say it's make or break for them as Xbox fans. And are they wrong for saying that? Absolutely not. If Microsoft has not earned your dollar, stop paying them. That means stop buying their games, stop buying their consoles, stop buying their subscription service. If you feel that they're not earning your $15 a month, then you as a consumer need to put your foot down and say nay. I'm no longer gonna support this Emerald Green brand because they keep disappointing. I can't say that. They have earned my money, and I'm happy every month with Xbox Game Pass because, like I said, as a retired guy, there isn't money just hanging on trees in the backyard. I literally have to make sure that I'm paying everything first before I spend money on gaming, and Xbox Game Pass allows me to. I'm not a grazer like Pong. Pong's an admitted grazer. He goes here, he goes there, he goes here, like a forest animal, which is great. I'm like a grizzly bear. I get into a game and I tear through it and I move on to the next one. And Game Pass allows me to do that, which is great. See, from two perspectives, he's from a grazing perspective. Game Pass is fantastic for him. From
it's a treasure
bear,
hoard.
Yeah, it's a treasure trove for a grizzly bear like me who sees a game, gets into the game, and just like right now, I'm about to hit level 81 in the Halo Season 2 Battle Pass. 81. I'm close. I will finish that Battle Pass this weekend. I'm telling you right now. And then I'm going to get back to Battle Pass 1 because I only got to level 52 and I'm loving it. Pong, let's reel this back in. 2023, level of importance for Xbox. They know it. We know it. This community, we have 300 people here in the chat. They know it. They want it. What are your thoughts, brother? How important, how monstrous does this year need to be? Not have to be, need to be for Xbox.
Yeah, like you started out by saying, boom, next year. Well, we already knew 2023 was looking to be one of the best years in video game history from across the board, whether it's Nintendo, Sony, or Xbox. We knew that was going to be all guns blazing. Hopefully the chip shortages will be relaxing at that point. I know there's been talk that maybe till 2024, but let's hope. Let's hope next year is when everybody starts being able to produce the consoles that they need to produce to supply demand, right? So again, next year is going to be huge for everybody, but Xbox in particular. Look, let's look at this at a high level from Phil's standpoint and above. Phil convinced Satya to do this with Game Pass and got the blank checkbook because Game Pass drives not just Xbox, but it drives the Azure servers. It drives xCloud adoption. It drives so much for Microsoft as a corporation. That's why Phil is now CEO of Microsoft Gaming. They are all in. But again, bottom line, bottom dollars is based upon how quickly they can grow Game Pass and what kind of lead they can get. Not having first-party games is not the end of the world in any way, shape, or form. Xbox is not going to be in the position they found themselves in 2017 prior to Phil taking over and convincing everybody that there was a way forward. They are not going to find themselves in that position again. However, they are going to find them in the position of stagnation if they don't get their first parties in line, because first
fantastic parties... point. Please elaborate. Yes. And again, I want people to understand. I really hate having to give an explanation, because you know, you get people. Listen, folks, if you ever want to feel complete dejection, if you ever want to feel discontent, do a YouTube channel. Put on a show on a weekly basis, and then take the time to read the comments. I had 18 comments from last night's show, and I don't know, 13 of them were complete rubbish. Because the amount of ridiculousness that comes into these keyboard cowards, it cannot be believed. So I want to say that this isn't a pile-on session. We're all Xbox fans, and we have every goddamn right to question, you know, a mistake or three. You know, whether it's a mistake and you believe it or not, I hear you. If you're okay with whatever they're going to put in your plate, you're going to eat it. But we as consumers have a right to be critical. We don't have to be a-holes about it. We can have a good conversation like we're having right now. But Pong, please continue.
Yes, sir. First party titles, okay, depending on what they are a factor in creating an identity for your platform, okay, pure and simple. Now, yep. Some of that has been washed away a little bit because of Xbox, you know, and Phil deciding to put everything on PC, game, you know, day and date and all that good stuff, right? He's kind of de-emphasized first party in a way, but to the wider audience, when people think of Xbox, they want to associate with something like Halo, like Gears, right? Like Forza. That association is very strong, okay? And that branding is very strong. And that's why you need those first-party titles hitting your subscription service. Now, third-party titles, right? Your mass appeal titles are going to be your main driving force. And let me tell you, they closed this Activision Blizzard deal. They got one of the biggest driving forces in the history of video games.
Indeed.
In Call of Duty.
Yep.
Which will then, even if it stays multi-platform, which we all at this point expect.
Like I said, honestly, who cares? You're getting a Game Pass day and date. You know, who cares?
Day and date Game Pass. When people walk into the stores and they're making that buying decision for the first time in 2023, do I go PlayStation? Do I go Xbox? And every single salesperson and a lot of the wider audience that's not in this community even starts to hear that Xbox now controls Call of Duty, that association will drive those sales. So they got a big ace up their sleeves with this Activision Blizzard deal. But overall, when we're talking about the grand scheme of things, you have to provide first party home runs for your subscription service to drive that awareness, to drive that mind share through the roof, that when people invest in the ecosystem of Game Pass, which again is why currently Phil has the open checkbook from Satya, seemingly, is because Game Pass is what they see 10 years down the road, 15, 20 years down the road, reaching 2 billion, 3 billion people, as crazy as that sounds. Those are the numbers that right now allow Phil to do what he's doing, that greenlight $70 billion deals like Activision Blizzard. So you don't want to have that stagnation happen. You don't want to have the word start trickling outside of this community to the wider audience. Ooh, Xbox really hasn't been given anything lately. Like, yeah, they got a lot of third parties, a lot of indie stuff. It's cool. You know, they make some big deals here and there for, for a third party game, but we're not seeing any first party stuff. We're not seeing any of that Starfield. We're not seeing any of those big games come into the service. Once that starts happening, then that slows everything down. And that's, again, they want to hit bigger and bigger numbers. They want to get that lead so far ahead of Sony and that subscription service that they're the Netflix and then Sony's playing catch up, right? That's what they want. They have the advantage. 2023 is going to drive home that advantage. So they cannot have another year. Like I said, the criticism is fair. There is a history here. We've heard some word out of certain studios. There is a lot of things that have happened previously that can make you kind of scratch your head and say, ooh, is there something bigger going on here? But 2023 can wipe that all away. Again,
100%.
Boom just listed off all the games. Phil has promised and said their main goal is one AAA first-party title per quarter. They have the studios to do that. Now, we haven't gotten that, and this year has been, again, so far from what we know, let's say Motorsport comes out, cool. That will be one AAA game this year that comes out of the first party studios. That's not even close to one per quarter. However, 2023, with all the games that Boom just listed off, we technically, and I think that Xbox should, they should hold nothing back next year. Because again, next year's holiday is going to be a key turning point, I believe, in this entire generation. When all three companies, and again, Nintendo's on their own, so I just throw them in there because they still are a player, but they're on their own. They do what they do. Between Sony and Xbox, next holiday is going to determine a lot of this generation because they both should be firing on all cylinders at that point. So I don't think you hold back any ammo. If all of those things are available, if Hellblade 2 is ready to rock and roll next holiday, you drop it, right? You do that because then next year you're looking at potentially by the end of the year, one game every 2 months, which we knew they could hit at some point. And when I'm not even throwing in the Activision Blizzard stuff, which who knows what else they've got in the works.
Look, all jokes aside, like I said, now that we're having this conversation, I'm getting excited because there is going to come a point. We talked about this very briefly, but being I have you here, Pong, I definitely want to touch on it because you just brought up a great point. There is going to be a point in time where they literally, Pong, have so many studios and so many games, they may actually have to shelf a game because they don't want to drop it after. Because then what starts happening, what we never, ever, ever want to see happen in gaming again is what happened to Titanfall 2. Correct. Folks, I'm here to tell you that if you skipped out on Titanfall 2 because maybe, you know, the first one was multiplayer and it wasn't your bag, I implore you as a gamer, as someone that I believe you trust, go to your couch, shake it out, get the change, because that's what you could pick up Titanfall 2 for. And if you have Xbox Game Pass, you get EA Play, you can download it.
Boom, I'll be right back. I got to grab these dogs.
Yeah, brother. The best single-player story I think in first person history, I would dare say it's probably one of the best. And you know what? What happened to that game? That game is a very, very sad story, ladies and gentlemen. What happened? Somehow the marketing geniuses at EA decided to take Titanfall 2 and literally sandwich it between Call of Duty and Battlefield. And it got decimated. And to this day, there are some people in this community be like that I have suggested, hey, go try Titanfall 2. And they hit me up in a DM or they reach out to me on social media. My God, Boom, you were right. This is absolutely incredible. And that's what we don't want to see happening to any of Microsoft's first party games. Pong, I'm glad you're back, brother, because I'm gonna obviously Titanfall, travesty of justice. Yep. It got sandwiched between Call of Duty and Battlefield, and it died on the vine. we don't want to see that happen to any Microsoft first party games because, well, we want their games to succeed in both critical reception as well as commercial success, success. I guess I can call it guesstimation math. Microsoft might actually have anywhere between 6 and 8 games they could release next year. And that's not even, you know, second or third party deals or even indie games.
Correct. And you're right, Boom. They do have to be careful. They're going to have kind of a conundrum to start out the year. If Avowed's ready to rock and roll, let's say
spring. Yeah. Well, listen, look, you know, speaking of Avowed, that team, that Obsidian team, you know, they put out Fallout New Vegas in 18 months. Mm-hmm. One of the best of the entire four. They even did it better than Bethesda.
Like I said, they're wizards over there at Obsidian. There is no doubt about it.
And they don't have to be micromanaged either.
Nope. They run their tight ship and they do everything quality. And that's what we want out of Xbox. And that's why I'm happy for the delays. Again, this has never been about the delays. But to get back to topic, again, to your point, Boom, they will have this conundrum with Avowed if it's ready to go early next year. Because you have Starfield supposedly going to be ready in the first half. Now, what if, because you've made this kind of statement that you're going to give the fans Starfield, which there was a huge portion of us hyped that we'll play it this year. Now we got to wait some more. Do you push Starfield to fall next year to avoid tripping over Avowed? Because again, Avowed needs to breathe. When you have RPGs, and we know Microsoft, Xbox now own most of the Western RPG market between their teams. We know that there's like between like In Exile, Obsidian, Bethesda. We've got at least probably 3-4 RPGs. Fable, I forgot about Fable, coming within the next 3 years, 2 to 3 years. So you've got to space those big RPGs out. You don't want them on top of each other, but that's what we talked about, Boom. There is going to come a time and place and a point, and maybe starting next year, now that all these delays have happened, that Microsoft actually has the ability, Phil has the ability to look at the big board and say, look, here's our calendar year. We want at least one per quarter. Well, shoot, we got 8. We got 8 right now. What are we going to do? Are we going to release one every 2 months? Well, we can't have Avowed and Starfield close. So we got to separate those two. And then they can start looking at the individual teams and the individual games and make sure the diversity is there in their lineup as they release these first party titles. And they can move things around. And again, if one team all of a sudden comes out of the blue and says, look, Phil, look, we were on schedule, but look, this happened. Yep. We want to be able to get this fixed. And Phil's going to be like, okay, no problem. Move you out. Move this one over here. We're good. That's what is going to happen. But next year has to be the year. And again, I would not hold back any ammo next year if the chip shortage is over with. If you are producing consoles at a huge clip, if you've got the puck out, you have announced the puck and the puck is out. xCloud is growing. Right. And Game Pass kind of stagnated at the end of 2022 because of the holes left by Starfield and Redfall. I think you give it all and you just say, look, we're going to space this stuff out. We're not going to have anybody tripping over each other, but we're going to get all this out one game every 2 months. Because if next year comes along, and I don't see say this lightly, folks, if next year comes along and we have another beginning first half of the year where we don't get a title, there's an issue. If we get a year where all of a sudden other things start getting delayed again, and we don't see one first party title per quarter, questions have to be asked.
100%.
What's going on? And again, this isn't doom and gloom. This is just some serious questions have to be. Some people are asking the questions now, which is fair. Again, there's a history here. You could start asking those questions now. For me, as a gamer, I'm fine. I'm good. But this just wait longer stuff has to go away.
At some point, it's going to be the term enough is enough.
Right. Because like you said, yeah. Boom, like you said earlier, right? This has been a meme that's been going around for a long time. And this year with Starfield, especially, was supposed to be the start of the actual new Xbox era.
Yep.
This is year two of a brand new generation. And now we have a year that, again, not saying doom and gloom, but from a first party standpoint, is a lost year. You don't have that in your second year of a generation launch, especially after your first launch was supposed to come with Halo and that had to be delayed a year. You can't have this continuation of that. Starfield was supposed to be the ending point of the old stuff and the beginning point of the new Xbox era, where from there on out, everything was going. And now that's been lost. So next year, you got to come. You have to prove that all these studios are back up and running. They've got their stuff together, that there aren't any issues, and that you're going to start having that cadence of releases that you talked about years ago when you started making all these acquisitions. And again, there's no more excuses in 2023. Again, there's some people who say no more excuses now. I understand you. I totally do. If I wasn't the gamer that I was, if I was just the gamer that only played exclusives or only was looking forward to AAA home runs from first party studios, I would be in that same boat right now going, what is going on around here? But I'm not. Luckily, me as a gamer, I play everything. Like Boone said, I'm crazy.
Me too.
Yep. So I'm good. I'm good for this year. But next year, even if I'm still good on games, if these first parties aren't producing, then there has to be some questions asked, because again, without that, you're not driving forward Game Pass. And Game Pass is what has allowed you to get to this point in this turnaround, this massive turnaround for Xbox that is nothing short of miraculous from where they were at one point. And Phil deserves a lot of that credit. Again, he says it's about the team and he's right. But again, being the quarterback of Xbox, he gets all the praise. And he also takes all the heat, and he doesn't want it any other way. So again, 2023, it's put up or shut up time for Xbox. From my standpoint, you guys got to show that you are ready for the big time to be playing in this industry. You're changing things. You're creating your own kind of field right now with your own rules that other people have to come over and play with you. But you got to be ready for that. You grew extremely fast out of necessity.
Yeah.
Right. You did what you had to do to get yourself here. Now you got to put it all together. Now
I want to add something to this commentary, because I think what you're saying is not only remarkably important to this conversation we're having. One of the things that they can have happen is to forfeit an entire 6-month block, meaning the first half of every year.
No.
Right. You can't keep doing that. And 2023 is setting itself up to potentially be bookended by two big games. Now, in 2017, Nintendo released the Switch, right? And they released two games that year. They opened up the Switch's life with, of course, Breath of the Wild, and they bookended that year with Mario Odyssey. Both high 96-plus meta games, both highly regarded by everyone, industry, gamers, people that sell the games commercially. They were two monster successful games. Microsoft has an opportunity, Pong, to potentially bring the millions of gamers that are already here and the potential new millions of gamers that will come if they could bookend a year like 2023 with Starfield up front, Avowed at the back end. Could you imagine that? Correct. Would be, and then you sprinkle in all of these other games, your Diablo 4, which is going to be now first
party. It's going to be massive.
It could be the year of years for Xbox, but they need to have that. We talked about it last night, the cadence.
Yes.
The cadence needs to get tightened up. You need to be better with giving us games on a consistent basis. And Phil Spencer has talked about that himself. He knows that we want better, and he wants to deliver. And I think that next year I hate to be in that camp. Wait till next year. But unfortunately,
last one.
we are, well, according to Kay Asante, who's a good friend of this program, great friend of the community, says that we have to wait until June. We have to patiently wait to see what they bring to the table.
Right.
Are they going to bring some new games that were scheduled potentially for next year that were ready, that they're moving forward, we don't know. And real quick, Victor Alistine, good friend of the program, he drops a $5 super chat, Pong, and he says, Tonobu Itagaki of Ninja Gaiden Black fame has opened a Twitter account to talk about his new game there. This is surprising this close to June 12th. I mean, he came out a couple of, I think, was it last year?
Yeah, last year.
He said, hey, listen, buy my studio. I want to work with Xbox. So maybe, you know, because I'm sure he's friends with Phil Spencer, and I'm sure that then maybe that would be a great audience to try and snag. There's no doubt about it. I know our super chat has come in. Let me just see. Yeah, we have King One Supreme. Welcome to the channel, brother. He drops a very generous $2 super chat and says, have Starfield in June of 23 and Avowed in fall of 2023. It's that's a strong 6 month or five or six month block. I would love to see. And again, I, upon being that you're a Starfield guy, being that you're a God Howard guy, the date that that on your show that Steel Rain talked about, which I think is, you know, something about Todd and dates.
Yeah,
that's his thing.
He does.
He loves very specific dates. 3/23/23 to me, folks, and to Steel Rain and to Pong, seems like that would be the perfect date for Starfield. Now, November, obviously, 11/11/22 is when the game was supposed to come out. Is December, January, February, March enough time to do what they need to do? I couldn't tell you. I'm not a developer. I have literally no idea where this game is. Is 4 months enough? Now, and I say 4 months, 4 months from the time of release, as opposed to it being, remember, folks, we're not even at the half year mark yet. We're still in May, mid-May, as a matter of fact. So you put the rest of the year, which is 7 months, you add the additional 4 months. Is 13 months, Pong? I mean, 13 months. Is 11 months enough to get Starfield to that date?
Again, it depends what the problem was, right? Boom. That's the thing that we'll never know is the actual problem that caused this, whether it was adding features that they wanted to have in that they weren't going to have ready, or whether they came up, you know, against some bugs that they weren't expecting, that they knew they couldn't fix by November, that they were going to have to go back and rescrub and redo the programming. Whatever the case was, we'll never know. But yes, I would hope so, Boom. Again, I want to play this before my birthday next May. I'd love to be playing it by then. So March 23 is the date. It's a Thursday. It works out. I can guarantee you with Todd and his fascination with dates, that's got to be one that he's got marked down. I guess we'll just have to wait and see. They're not ready to give us a date, obviously. They said first half of next year. So they're not ready to commit, and they're not going to commit this time until they are 100% sure. But I'm sure that team and him are shooting for something early. And like I said, it would make a lot of sense to Microsoft and Xbox to have it early next year to fill that gap that we've all said is a problem. The first half of the year is nothing. Well, you couldn't drop a bigger game than Starfield in the first half of the year. And
that quarter, Pong, that quarter of the year has been not only a very, very popular location for games like God of War, like Horizon, like many, many games.
Elden Ring.
That first quarter. Yes, yes. So it seems right. Now, if it's true, I mean, you know, Dark Zones is saying 11/11/23.
Yeah.
It's too much. It's my heart can't take it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, the world's got to survive for that much longer, which is a bigger issue.
Kaizu in the chat drops a comment. He says Spider-Man 2, God of War, maybe, Redfall, Breath of the Wild 2, Diablo 4, Overwatch 2, Starfield, Avowed, Project Midnight, Hellblade, Contraband, 2023 equals fire. And he is. That's what I talked about in the opening of this particular topic. 2023 has an opportunity to eclipse 2007, which by all accounts is and has been heralded as the best year in gaming history. And that is saying something. And I think many people that do say that are onto something. Now,
and let me wrap this. Let me say this real quick too. Boom.
Sure.
Just real quick. I know we're wrapping up the show. We're gonna get out of here pretty soon here. But let me just say this. I know there's a lot of discourse out there from Xbox people who say, oh, Sony gets away with this stuff all the time. Sony never gets held to the same standards as Xbox. Let me tell you something about that too. And these are just my thoughts. These are my opinions.
Please, by all means, elaborate.
Sony, number one, has earned that right through the decades to have some leeway. They've had their screw-ups and been called out PS3 generation. They were getting slaughtered left, right, and center, okay? Nonstop. I was around during that time. I was in the forums. We didn't have social media like we do now. They were getting slaughtered. The SDF, which we used to call them back in the day, or they were called back in the day as Sony Defense Force, could not stop what was being said about Sony back then. The PS3, they got hammered. But what they've done is they've created this narrative through decades of producing top-notch, high-quality, well-known, well-established IP that allows them some leeway. Also, with the old way of doing business in the console market, that was okay to have happen. If you only had one or two AAA games back in the day from your first party studios, that was okay. The difference now in 2022 is Xbox is showing the future of how video game development is going to work. By acquiring all these studios, there's never been a company quite like, and we see it in Embracer now with all their studios, but I'm talking about an actual console maker, has never owned this many studios previously or tried to do a subscription service like Xbox is doing. They are setting the tone for everybody else right now because they are the leaders. They are breaking new ground in this industry. They are changing mindsets. They are changing entire business models from the way that things were done previously. So back in the day, even last generation with PS4, because of how Xbox stumbled, it was okay for Sony to sell hopes and dreams. It was okay for Sony to have delays or have their games take 7 years to come out. But with what Xbox is trying to do here and how they're trying to change everything about the industry going forward, about how games are delivered, about accessibility across the entire globe, whether you're on your phone, console, TV, doesn't matter to them. With them trying to do that, there is going to be extra emphasis upon Xbox and this cadence of releases from their first party because it does make a difference in what their goals are now compared to the way it used to be when the market was capped at about 120 million consoles. That cap is what Microsoft is trying to explode. They're trying to get to 2 billion, 3 billion. You're not going to do that in the old fashion with not having those first party titles available and a lot of them available on a regular clip. That's the difference nowadays from my perspective as to why Xbox gets some more heat, because they're trying to change things and they've got to prove this works, and they haven't proven it quite yet. We've seen a lot of great results, but they got a lot yet that got to show everybody this works. This is why we're doing it this way. This is why we acquired all this talent, because we can make this happen. So there's just a lot of questions out there, and I think that's why they get the extra kind of scrutiny that they do.
Well, you know, at the end of the day, they've earned it. They've earned the leeway, unfortunately. Now, some people will disagree with me, and I hear you if you do, but you know what? They, you know, look, maybe 2022, not the greatest of year for Sony. They were this year riddled in controversy. Horizon, great looking game. Story seems to be incredible. I'm only 8 hours into it, but the bugs ruined it for me so much so that I stopped playing the game, right? Gran Turismo 7 riddled with controversy with microtransactions. Sifu was supposed to be a big exclusive for them, and unfortunately, no one was talking about that game, and that's a shame because that game is fantastic from what I understand from people I've talked to. I didn't buy it. I know it's a time exclusive, and I'll get it on Xbox, but.
But we see them changing too, Boom. They're making games as a service. They got 10 games as a service coming out in the next 2 years.
Yeah, okay. Bonkers.
They're chasing Xbox now. So the what worked for Sony is going to get them by for a little bit, and their fan base is going to be extremely forgiving of delays because they can say, hey, we did put out all these first party titles. We've never put them out at the end of the year. So even if God of War gets delayed, there's going to be a lot of those excuses that say, hey, Sony never does holidays. We don't care. We got all these games up front this year. We're good. What about Xbox, right? That's what always a comeback is going to be. But Sony is now having to play by Xbox's rules slowly but surely. Again, that old mentality from Sony is there, and Jim has to fight against that mentality and prove that what Xbox is doing is going to work for Sony as well. That's why they're acquiring studios, because they know now they need more content on a regular basis. They're beefing up their teams. They know they can't have a Naughty Dog take 7 years to come out with something. They've got to have other stuff in the works to make sure that the cadence is there for regular releases, because they see what Xbox is going to be doing with this avalanche of games coming for the next foreseeable future.
Absolutely, 100%. You are right. Listen, folks, we got, 350 people here. I think this might be the most we've ever had on this new show. Remember, this is only episode 13, and I'm glad everyone has tuned in for the commentary. Real quick, I do want to make an apology to the chat. Xbox Rules, who is in a lot of my chats, and I appreciate the enthusiasm, seemed to be a little out of sorts today. And I hid his comments on the chat because he seemed to want to be fighting with everyone. Xbox Rules, listen, here's the thing, brother. I appreciate your enthusiasm. I appreciate the support. I can't have you fighting. Now, I unhid you from it, but I'm going to tell Bleak the Popper and any of my mods, if you continue this line of shenanigans, you're just going to get banned. The same way I have a problem with Sony guys coming in here and being complete a-holes, I will ban Xbox guys looking to fight and be a-holes as well. I don't care. This is a very, very friendly chat. Everyone here interacts with each other the way that I would expect. And I don't want any kind of infighting. Opinions, they're like a-holes, everybody. Everyone has one. And you're entitled to yours. But you can't come here and keep saying Sony's trash and talking about RAM. And then you said something disrespectful about people that like anime. Not going to stand for it. I will defend. I will lose subs to defend my chat. And I don't care about that. Subs mean nothing to me. These fine folks that come here every week, every 4 times a week to watch what I put out there, you're an extension of my family, and I will defend you even if it caused me to lose subs. I don't care. So Xbox Rules, I appreciate you being here, brother, but you got to tone it down, because if you don't, next time you're out, Lethal Papa knows. He carries, folks, don't mess with Lethal, carries a very big stick, walks very quietly, right? So real quick, John Wolf, good friend of the program, says, love hearing this, Justin, a very generous $10 super chat, and says, love hearing the well thought and respectful conversation. Please hit that like button, everyone, and boom, you convinced me to take better care of the Bush and Mrs. Wolf. Thanks, you. 2023 will be fire. Of course, you're talking about Manscaped, which has been generous enough to sponsor the channel for an entire four consecutive weeks of primetime gaming, which, again, this is a very, very small this very small channel. And of course, I'm going to throw it. If you want to support Boom, if you want to, you know, trim that wood, you can get over to, obviously, manscaped.com. Hit DBG20 at checkout for 20% off of your total order and free shipping. And tell them that Boom sent you. Pong, this has been a magnificent conversation. And I see a lot of people, and I kind of want to comment on this. Folks, listen. If you're wondering whether or not why we didn't cover today the Call of Duty situation, I tried to get Hoglaw on for tomorrow. He's hung up. He'll be back in June. He'll be guesting, for the first half hour block that he normally does every now and again in June, once he's done with some personal stuff. Obviously, he's a lawyer, so he's doing work. But the Call of Duty situation is going to be a topic that we are going to be covering tomorrow morning. And again, it's a speculative one for sure, but it really does bring up some conversations, Pong, as to, in this investors, hey, what do you got going on for us in regards to marketing? There were a lot of games there, but Call of Duty was suspiciously absent from that slideshow. So a lot of people are questioning whether or not did Sony pull out of the marketing? Did Microsoft pay to break the contract? Is the biggest Call of Duty in what the past, what, decade going to be an Xbox Game Pass this November? Wow. We're going to talk all about that this Friday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, with the new episode of Breakfast with Boom. But folks, that is your new X-Vlog episode 13 with special guest Pong Soul. Obviously, this is, like I said, we're at 360 people here, Pong. That is the biggest amount of people we have had yet. And I think they're coming to see you. That is for sure. And the conversation, brother. Sell your brand. You got two other shows you're doing today, which is amazing, yeah. But you got a real busy week coming up. Tell everyone where they can check you out. And more importantly, where could they subscribe?
Absolutely.
And get you and Steele to 1K on Living Split Screen.
Yeah, that's a big goal this year. First of all, Boom, appreciate the invite. I'm glad you gave me plenty of time to make this work again. It's tough these days with my schedule, but I'm glad I could be here. Absolutely. I'm so thrilled to see this many people and a lot of our favorites and new people coming out to listen to us talk. Again, it's crazy to even think about that people want to come by and listen to us talk about an industry like this, but it is fantastic. That's why I joined this community. People having passion like we do for all things about video games. And that's what we're here to do. So this was a great conversation, Boom. Love the one-on-one. You know that. This two-man crew stuff, I absolutely enjoy. I enjoy all my shows, enjoy all my extended family. But I do love the two-man shows because there's a lot of great conversation that can happen. So thank you, Boom, for making this part of my day and getting me to be able to work from home today for one of the last few times maybe. So, but anyways, love you all. Thank you all for being here. You can find me, Pong Soul, Xbox, Pong Soul, Twitter. Like Boom said, triple header today. Today is number one. I'm at home today, so I thought, why not take advantage? GPG reached out to me. Green Pass Gaming, the boys, the lads from across the pond.
Yes.
I'm joining them. Love those guys. Some of the coolest, most chill guys to sit around and talk video games with ever. So please join Green Pass Gaming this afternoon, 3 p.m. Eastern, 2 o'clock Central Time. I will be there. We'll be talking some good stuff over there. And then tonight, PM in the PM, Pong and Mav in the PM. You know how we get down over there. Again, two-man crew, just me and Mav. But we're going to talk about all this news that's been happening this week. Again, nothing huge, gigantic. I mean, the PlayStation Plus stuff was cool. We're going to talk about all of it, though. So join us tonight. Fun Speculations Channel, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 o'clock Central Time. Then tomorrow, Friday night, back over on Fun Speculations Channel, Xbox Ultimate, 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 o'clock Central Time. It's a wild time. You don't know how many people are going to have on a panel. I think last week was 9. So you never know what you're going to get. We always have a good
there's
time.
There's no gameplay when there's 9 people.
No. And it gets crazy, right? It gets crazy. Craig showed up, right? Craig showed up last week on Xbox Ultimate because fancy. Shout out to Caitlin. Of course, Mav's awesome, amazing wife and gamer herself. She shows up with a filter that makes her Craig, and we lost it. We lost it for 45 minutes, laughing, crying. It was incredible. So join us on Xbox Ultimate Friday nights over on Fun Speculation Channel. Saturday mornings, that's right, Living Split Screen, Mission 1K. My brother from another, Steel Rain, and I get your weekend started. And if you're across the pond, we're going to keep your Saturday afternoon going because you're going to have 3+ hours. Now we're pretty much at 4 on a consistent basis, but I don't want to commit to that because we never know what we have going on. But 3+ hours of nothing.
You're
but
getting
goodness.
At least 3 hours, folks.
Yeah, you're going to get a lot of goodness. Steele and I bring the chat in. We talk about things that are being talked about in the chat. We bring community stuff in. I'm sure we're going to talk about some of the nonsense going on in the community this week as well. But you know you're going to get it live, raw, and uncut, and like Steele likes to say, every Saturday morning, Living Split Screen. Split Screen is all one word, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 o'clock Central Time, 3 p.m. BST time, UK time, however you want to say it. Be there. Bring a friend. Tell a friend. I'll be making a post tomorrow about it. So please check us out every Saturday morning. And then Saturday nights, Shop Podcast, PTK, Blam, Fuzzy Belvedere, myself. And this week, I believe we do have a guest this week, Level One Gaming. I believe we have Fame. We got Fame this week from Level One and Level One Gaming. Amazing. Amazing person. Amazing gamer. Please drop in the Shop Podcast, 9 p.m. Eastern. 8 o'clock Central Time. We end your Saturday night with a great show. And PTK has started taking questions from the chat for about the last hour, half hour of the show, depending on how much time we have. So please jump in there with your questions. We have a great time there. Otherwise, it is the golden age of gaming, people. This is why we all love it. Best time ever to be a gamer. Do not let the circus take away your hype for anything or your excitement. Share your excitement with the rest of the community. Forget all those other nonsense, right? All those other people that want to bring you down, just forget about them. Play what you love. Love what you play. I'll talk to y'all real soon. Thanks again.
Thank you so much. Real quick, Danny Passion Official, good friend of ours, right, Pong? He's always in the chat. He drops a very generous $5 super chat and says, Starfield and Redfall delayed, and Sony is still behind, in my opinion. He got himself a PlayStation 5 2+ months ago, and they haven't pulled him away from Game Pass. $70 for a year-old game, come on. And you're 100% right in saying so. And we got to give a bit of a shout-out to Mike Sperling. Mike, I just saw his comment over here. Is Mike Series X Sperling in the chat. Pong, he is just now recovering from surgery, and he says, watching two of my favorites on a great podcast. Well, brother, it's great to have you here.
Hopefully, heal up, Mike.
Yeah,
glad to hear you're out, man.
Yeah, hopefully you recover very, very quickly. And thank you for the kind words. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for making this one of the most successful X vlogs to date. Hopefully you enjoyed the commentary. Hopefully you'll come back. And if you're new to the channel, folks, please, we are closing in on being under 1,300 away from 12K. Mrs. Boomstick and I hit 10K in January, live on the air on the Iron Lords podcast, as a matter of fact. And our goal, our personal goal, is to hit 12K, and we're grinding, and we're just a little bit over 1,300 away. We'd love to hit that. If you're new and you're finding the channel for the first time, please, by all means, consider subscribing. Before you guys get on out of here, hit that like button. But of course, I'm going to close out the show with something that is important to me, folks. Hopefully one day it'll be important to you. And that's something that my dad taught me with kids. And he said, son, treat others how you want to be treated. And also, it doesn't cost anything to be nice. You live by those rules, and I can guarantee you're going to have an awesome day. So take care, everyone. And we'll see you next week on the newest episode of X Vlog Live.